O Lord God Almighty, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you and call you Abba, Father. You love us more than any earthly father can love his own children. In the name of Christ, through the new and living way, by his shed blood, we come to your throne of grace. We join the heavenly worship. Now, Lord, we beg you that you may speak to us through the preaching of your word. The human instrument is so weak, but your word is mighty. May your Holy Spirit come and fill with he who speaks and those who listen. So, Lord, bless us. We pray that we may come to possess your promises by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Now tonight, please have your Bible open. We're actually going to look at quite a number of passages in the book of Isaiah. And for those of you who are taking notes, you may have, you may need to have your pens ready to take down these references. Now, first of all, let us open to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 to 20. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger, whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Say many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. And then chapter 44, verses 1 to 2. Yet hear me now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshua, whom I have chosen. Oh, friends, you know we've been studying the so-called seven songs in Isaiah chapters 42 and 49. And before we move on to the third seven song in Isaiah chapter 50, I want us to pause and consider the context of these messianic prophecies in the prophet Isaiah. Now, there are many prophecies about the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. And that's why Isaiah has been called the Gospel according to Isaiah, or the fifth Gospel. It's quite amazing, really, that Isaiah, who lived some 700 years before our Lord Jesus, he actually prophesied in detail the conception, the birth, the ministry, the suffering, and the substitutionary death and exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are just amazing prophecies. By themselves, they're so wonderful. But these prophecies are also carefully set in the context of the whole message of Isaiah. If I may put it like this to you, the whole book of Isaiah is like the most wonderful, beautiful wedding cake. And these messianic prophecies are like the queen of the cake, or the most beautiful decorations of the cake. But the whole cake is also beautiful and delicious and wonderful. Maybe that's not a very good illustration, but what I'm saying is that the whole prophecy of Isaiah is just wonderful, and these specific messianic prophecies are set in the context of the whole book of Isaiah. Now, you may like to remember this. In the first part of the book of Isaiah, the Messiah is presented as king. And then in this part of Isaiah, chapters 41 to 53, Isaiah is presented as the servant of the Lord. And then later on, Isaiah is presented as the anointed conqueror. So there are these three figures, king, servant, and anointed conqueror. And all three figures come together in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah is also a master craftsman of words. The prophet Isaiah, apart from being God's word and wonderful prophecy, is a most beautiful piece of ancient literature. I cannot think of too many ancient literatures which can compare with Isaiah, even just in this aspect of being literature. The book of Isaiah has an amazing unity in the midst of variegated diversity. There are so many things in Isaiah, so many doctrines, so many words, but there is this amazing unity. So what we have in Isaiah is that we have the most vivid, powerful, beautiful prophecy in the form of most exquisite literature. Now I know some of you actually know the book of Isaiah quite well, or you've been trying to study and understand the book of Isaiah, and you might have been following up our preaching here by reading this part of Isaiah. And you would have noticed already that in this part of Isaiah, there's not only this suffering servant in the servant songs, who is the Messiah. We know that. That actually is quite clear. But as a matter of fact, in this part of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 41 to 53, there's another servant. There are actually two pictures of the servant of the Lord. They are both called the Lord's servant, God's servant, or the servant of the Lord. And sometimes they are called with the same name. But they are different. Very different. They stand in contrast. And Isaiah is really presenting these two pictures. And if we read his book carefully and study his book carefully, we're going to ask, hey Isaiah, what is this? We talk about this servant of the Lord, and he's bad, he's a failure. And then, the next passage, this other servant of the Lord, who is so good and successful, are these the same? What are you talking about? Now, I must confess to you that I don't normally watch movies, unless I'm traveling. And then I'm forced fed movies. I don't even want to watch movie, but sitting in a plane for 12 hours, 14 hours, or even more, and then all this screen next to you, in front of you, there are different movies, and you cannot help but seeing some of these things. I remember one occasion, the person sitting next to me was watching a movie on the screen, and I sort of caught sight of that, and I got interested in that because there were some, of course I couldn't hear the conversation, and but I saw these young people during the time of the Cultural Revolution in China, and all these denunciation meeting and persecution and so on. And then the next minute is China nowadays, modern, advanced, luxurious. And then the next moment, it's back to the Cultural Revolution. I said, well, what's going on here? And I was trying to find this movie. I was trying to find this movie. Where can I watch this movie? Try all the channels, see all the movie. It's not there. Until I realized It's actually not part of the movie programs of the aeroplane. It's the person who brought along her phone, I think it was a lady, her phone, and project it into the screen of the aeroplane. Well, maybe after the service, some of you can tell me what is that movie. But clearly, I work it out. This is a contrasting pictures between what was then in the Cultural Revolution, what is now, and there must be some sort of message which I can't follow because I couldn't hear. So here we have, in chapters 41 to 53 of the prophecy of Isaiah, these two servants. A bad servant and a good servant. And as a matter of fact, in chapters 41 to 53, the word servant in the singular occurs many times. I don't think servant in the plural actually occur in chapters 41 to 53. But after chapter 53, the word servant always appears in the plural. I can't make the distinction between servant, singular, and servants, TS, plural. But after chapter 53, servant is always in the plural. Chapters 41 to 53, always in the singular. And chapter 53 is the turning point. Why is that? Now, some of you may know well, Isaiah chapter 53 is the supreme prophecy about the suffering and substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the turning point. Okay, so let me just say a few words about this tale of two servants in Isaiah chapters 41 to 53. First of all, with this picture of the servant of the Lord, the nation Israel. Greatly privileged. From our call to worship, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, God says to his servant, "But you, Israel, you are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his father's regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you." So here you have Israel as a nation, greatly privileged, chosen by God, selected out of all the nations of the world. But Israel as a nation, as the servant of the Lord, has been stubbornly rebellious. Look at chapter 42, verse 18 to 20. "Hear you deaf, and look you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger, whom I sent? Who is blind as he who is perfect?" Now, other translation has "he who is dedicated to the Lord." The New King James here just more or less translate that word coming from shalom, complete, perfect. But it's certainly not that this servant is perfect. Sinners know this servant is meant to be dedicated to the Lord. That's the sense. "And blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but you do not hear." You got it? This is a stubbornly rebellious servant. You are blind, blind, blind. How many times? Four times or more? You refuse to see. Seeing, you do not see. And you're deaf. You are meant to hear my word, but you are deaf because you have chosen to be deaf. You refuse to listen to me. And this is my servant, Israel. And because of that, Israel as a nation is going to be punished. And punished severely. Israel will go to exile. To Babylon. But then in these chapters, God also promises he's not going to give up Israel as his servant. I'm not going to give you up. And therefore, in these chapters, chapters 41 to 53, there are many promises that the Lord is going to redeem Israel from all her troubles. The Lord God is going to raise up Cyrus, the Persian king, to send the captive people free, to send them home. And Cyrus lived something like 150 years after the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah named him, yes, the Lord is going to raise up a man called Cyrus. Twice his name is written in this part of Isaiah's prophecy. He's going to release you and send you home. But more than that, the Lord God is going to solve the ultimate problem of Israel, which is what? Sin. The Lord God is even going to solve that ultimate problem of Israel. And that's why in this chapter, there are so many encouragements and comfort and promises to nation Israel. For example, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his father's regions and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and have not cast you away, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What promises, what comfort, what encouragement. Fear not, for I am with you. Why should we fear if the Lord is with us? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And the promise of God's strengthening grace, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And all through these chapters, we have such promises time and again. We shall look at how we're going to appropriate these promises to ourselves. So here you have the first picture. Israel as a nation, meant to be a servant of the Lord, but failed, disobedience, rebellious. It's going to be punished, but the Lord will not give up his own people. The Lord will redeem, and the Lord keep on comforting his people. How good is our God? Can you imagine that? How wonderful is God? Long before the people of Judah went to exile, God told them, you will go to exile, and it's because of your sin. But long before they went to exile, God promised they would return from their captivity. And more than that, God even promised to redeem them completely through his own son. Prophecies to equip, to encourage, to strengthen. So here we have the first picture, servant Israel. And then in the midst of the servant Israel as a nation, in her failures, in her sins, in her forthcoming sufferings, there's another picture, another servant. At least once this servant is also called Israel. I think it's Isaiah chapter 49. And this is the good servant. He's chosen, has been called from his mother's womb. But this servant, in contrast to the nation Israel, is obedient, faithful. But lo and behold, this servant is going to suffer. Not for himself. He's going to be the savior and the restorer of Israel. And not just for Israel, but for all the nations in the world. So first of all, we have these two pictures, two servants. And when you see this contrast, when you ask Isaiah, well, what are you up to? Now, friends, this is not just some sort of interesting Bible studies on ancient prophecies. It has direct relevance to us, as I hope to show you. So we move on to consider Christ and the church. Now, you know that the New Testament presents Jesus as the second Adam, or the second man, the last Adam, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and also Romans chapter 5. So, the New Testament, Paul especially, help us understand the whole story of humanity. We have two heads. Head Adam, who fell, who rebelled, and with God all Adam's trouble, his sinful nature, his death. And that's what we see. What do we see now on earth? Pandemic, riots, nation against nation, and lies, and hatred, bitterness, death, sufferings. So we have these two men, Adam, Christ. But the New Testament also teaches us that our Lord Jesus Christ is the new Israel, the true Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is what Israel as a nation ought to be, but failed to be. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, when Matthew talks about Joseph took the young child Jesus to Egypt, he actually quotes from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Out of Egypt I call my son. When you look up Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, you discover it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, clearly this is about nation Israel. And Matthew takes this Bible verse and applies it to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is what Israel is meant to be, but failed to be. Jesus fulfilled the calling of Israel. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he was baptized into his people's baptism of repentance. John the Baptist's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And Jesus got no sin to repent of, yet he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. And John the Baptist said, no, I can't do that. This is crazy. It's not right. And Jesus said, it has to be done. We need to fulfill all righteousness. Why? Because Jesus is going to be identified with his people completely. He was baptized into his people's baptism. After Jesus' baptism, he was in the wilderness and tempted. For how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Why 40 days and 40 nights? You remember Israel as a nation was in the wilderness, tempted for how long? 40 years. So the 40 days and 40 nights are corresponding to the 40 years of the wilderness, wandering and temptation. But Israel in the wilderness failed and tempted God 10 times and more. But Jesus in the wilderness stood firm. You see these two pictures? And then, in the one miracle that all four Gospels recorded, and that is Jesus feeding the 5,000, where? In a deserted place. He multiplied bread, he fed the multitude. You remember Moses was in the wilderness, he fed the people with bread from heaven, and in John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread from heaven. The manna was God's given bread in the wilderness. And the people were fed. And now Jesus was in a deserted place. The crowd was with him. He fed the people by multiplying bread. And then he says, I am the bread from heaven. Okay, I guess by now you get it, don't you? Jesus became what nation Israel ought to be. He is that faithful, obedient, true servant of the Lord. And in the seven songs, Isaiah chapter 42, 49, 50, 53, as the seven songs progress, we see more and more clearly that a servant will be despised and suffered terrible abuse. In chapter 42, there's a hint that a servant, a good servant of the Lord, will face discouragement. But chapter 49 says clearly that people will despise the servant of the Lord. And then when we come to chapter 50, verse 6, perhaps you can turn to that. There the servant says to us, I gave my back to those who swept me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. It's getting worse. To the ancient Jews, there was perhaps nothing more humiliating than people plucking out your beard. That must be very painful, but you get the idea. Well, you got the beard, pluck it out, pull it out. And I don't know how many of you has been spat for before. Well, that's a humiliating act for anyone to do to another person. We're polite people, I hope we don't do that. Great humiliation. But by the time we come to Isaiah chapter 53, it's far worse. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by stripes we are healed. And then verse 8, he was cut off from the land of the living. So you see this progression, this intensification, as the seventh song progress, the servant is going to suffer tremendously to the point of being killed. And actually, Isaiah 53 tells us that this good and faithful servant of the Lord will actually bear the sins of God's people. And in so doing, he will redeem all God's people, Jews and Gentiles included. Now, how all this come together for us is this. Now, by faith in Jesus, we become the people of God. And we inherit the spiritual promises to nation Israel. So much so that we can go to, let's say, Isaiah chapters 41 to 53, not confined to those chapters, but we're talking about those chapters tonight. We can go to those chapters and we can pick up encouragement and promises one after another and apply them to ourselves. And we would not be stealing any promise from the Jewish people. No, we don't steal from the Jews. Actually, we tell our Jewish friends, come, study Isaiah with us. Believe in the long promised king, suffering servant, another conqueror, and claim these promises as your own as well. So friends, as we come to know more and more about the promises in Isaiah, we take promise after promise to Israel, claim them as our own before the throne of grace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we finish, I want to give you a few examples, a few promises. We'll see how we go. But go to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. This is to Israel as a nation. I remember as a young theological student, I was privileged to minister to an older lady who was sick in hospital. I was so inexperienced that I did not know that she was actually dying. Well, you know, when you're young, you don't know people are dying. I visited her a number of times, and an older elder visited her as well. And she appreciated our visit very much. But she was telling us time and again, you know, my husband does not love me anymore. And we tried to comfort her and say, look, your husband comes to see you every day. He certainly loves you. And she said, no. He's keeping a distance from me. He won't even kiss me. He doesn't love me anymore. And we tried to comfort her and say, no, no, this just cannot be. And she was telling us, you men love me more than my husband. But then she would tell us again and again, Isaiah 43 verse 1. She said, that's okay. The Lord have called me by my name, and I'm his. She'll be telling us time and again, I have called you by your name, you are mine. Well, it turned out that what she said was actually true. Her husband was already in love with another lady while she was dying. Very sad. But she was comforted and girded up and supported by this promise to ancient Israel as a nation. How about verse 25 in Isaiah chapter 43. God says, I, even I, am he who blot out your transgression for your own namesake, and I will not remember your sins. What a comfort to us. Is it not so? You take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you have said, you have blotted out my transgression for your own sake, and you will not remember my sins. I still remember my sin, but Lord, you have said you will not remember my sins. Chapter 44, verse 3. For Christian parents, what a wonderful promise. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. We parents, we can take this promise here and go to plead with the Lord for our children and for our children's children for years to come. And then Isaiah 44, verse 21. I want to show you. This is clearly for nation Israel to start with. Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember this, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. Israel, you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. Repeat it. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I will not remember your sin, but you will not be forgotten by me. And then verse 22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. What wonderful promise. Like we're under stormy cloud, it was humid. Our sins, our transgressions are like that, but God has promised to Israel. And now by faith in Christ, we claim in the name of Christ this promise. I blot out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a child, your sins. And I will finish off with this last one. Well, it's for us older folks. Alright? Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 to 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel. who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. You notice this is for Israel as a nation. And the promise? Even to your old age, I am He. And even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Now, it's easy to miss in English. But five times, the personal pronoun I, first person, I, is mentioned here. In Hebrew, I'll teach you one Hebrew word tonight. I is ani. So when you hear this verse in Hebrew, five times God says, ani, 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 ani. You won't miss it. I have made you. I will carry you. I will bear. I will do it. And friends, there are many, many more promises in this part of the prophecy of Isaiah. They are all yours if you are in Christ. In the name of Christ, let us go to the throne of grace and beg God to fulfill His promises to us. So let me say this to you. Go home, read, study, ponder, search out the prophecy of Isaiah, hunt out treasures new and old, and discover your inheritance in Christ. Enjoy and rejoice in the Lord. And these promises will carry you all the way to glory, through death, through sufferings. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, like Israel of old, we have failed. We have sinned. We deserve not only your punishment, but your condemnation. But now in Christ, the second man, the last Adam, the true Israel, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And in Christ, we inherit all your promises to your ancient people. How we long and pray that your ancient chosen people, the Jews, may come to faith in Christ. Bless and prosper the mission agencies in Sydney here in carrying the gospel to the Jews. We thank you for new workers working with Christian Witness to Israel. Encourage them to persevere. And yes, O God, we pray that you may fulfill your promises to us and that we may be keen to tell others to come to Christ and have these promises fulfilled to them as well. Though our sin is red as scarlet, or we shall be as white as snow, all because of the cleansing blood of Christ. O blessed be your name. Give us wisdom, give us understanding to search out your word. Work in us that we may desire to know you and your word more. For Jesus' sake. Amen.